All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose.
Hi, and welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Today, it's the Three Musketeers. It's me, Daniel, and we have Ken, the voice of reason here. Hello. And our very special guest, the Scandinavian Kiss fan, Bent. Welcome, Bent.
Thank you, Mr. And I'm very happy to be here because, as you know, if you have been part of the Kiss FAQ podcast once, you will always like to come back. Everybody knows that. But you need to wait and wait and wait and wait. And then finally, when Kiss Online, after 45 years, discovered what this kid did back then, but he's not a kid anymore.
Yeah, what Bent is referring to is the recent interview that Kiss Online did with him. Go and check that out. I don't know what it's called, but something about the Kiss Scandinavian fan in 1980, something like that.
Yeah.
Very good article, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's written by the best, because Ken Sharp, Mr. Kiss book writer Ken Sharp, did it, and it's brilliant. And I don't want to
put, you can't say, Bent, that he's the best. You know, Julian might hear this.
Ooh, I'm so sorry. But I know that Julian and Ken is making stuff together, which means that we'll be the best of the best.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to that one for a while now. We haven't gotten a lot of details on that one, Ken, have we?
On that book. A whole lot, but no, I'm hoping it'll be out this year, later this year.
It's a bit secret. How do you say it? It's not telling at all.
Secretive.
Yeah, and you understand that he, until it's released, he doesn't want to get a whole lot of information out there. But it's coming, and I think it'll be a great book, you know, about Ace Frehley. So as we can see, I think Julian has designed the show today. He's using yellow and blue, Ken. Do you know why he's used yellow and blue for the Kiss FAQ logo there? Do you have any idea?
Probably with the Swedish flag.
Very good, Ken. It's a Swedish flag.
Yeah.
Blue for the sky and the sea, and yellow for the sun. Which
yellow snow?
Has
appeared. Oh, okay.
don't eat yellow snow. Yep.
Don't eat yellow snow.
No, you shouldn't. And you should listen to Cheech and Chong's advice not to eat the yellow snow. You're so right.
Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, and since we've been celebrating the anniversary of Unmasked this year, we wanted you guys to get the listeners to get a Scandinavian perspective from someone who actually was there in 1980 when Kiss toured. Yeah, that's the wrong album, but it's a good album anyhow. They didn't tour America. They only did the single show at the Palladium, and then they didn't tour America. So I guess, Ken, you didn't see them in 80, did you?
No. They skipped the U.S., unfortunately. I was looking forward to it, but it never happened.
No. So, but if, before we get the conversation going, we need to know a little bit more about Bernd. I don't know how much our listeners know about Bernd, but he's been on the show previously. But how and when did you discover Kiss, Bernd? Tell us about that.
Okay. Let's put it in a dramatic way, because from people that knows me, knows that the dramatic way is the best way. It was back in 1975. Oh. There were slush outside. I hate slush. It's the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I was 13 at the time, and I was going to our biggest record store, Åhléns, to pick up some new album, because I've heard about this album.
Sweet.
I was a big Sweet fan back then. And I went there and I saw a new album with a Japanese band, which really caught my attention. I mean, have you seen any hotter Japanese band than this? No, you haven't. So, and back in those days, every album in Sweden, you were able to open them up and look inside, but not the American ones, as you know, since at least we can are living over there. So you couldn't open them up. So I didn't know what the it was. But I was so sure that this was a Japanese band. And it, these pictures, I mean, absolutely. So my Sweet album, it stayed in the store for another time. And then I went home. 20 minutes on the subway, I was looking at this album all the time. And I was thinking, this is the best shit ever. So I came home, I put down the needle, I was listening to it, and it was amazing. It was such a good album. I mean, this feeling about when you really hit the spot, you really found a band. But I didn't know anything about them, for the exception that they were Japanese.
Yeah.
Which I found later they weren't. But nowadays, Kiss is Swedish, so I wasn't totally wrong. Since Kiss sold their brand to the Swedish pop house, which also own Cyndi Lauper and the brand of ABBA. So Kiss is a Swedish
band. That's a great, Hotter Than Hell, that's a great first album to start.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fandom.
And it's way back in 75. That's pretty cool.
For me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And Ken, you got into Kiss in 77?
77.
Yeah,
I probably had the chance in 75 or 76 when, you know, I told the story about my friend showing me the first Kiss album and I kind of blew it off, ignored it. And I was like, what is this? Well, he didn't play it. He did not play it. But he just played, he showed me the album cover and I was like, discarded it. I was like, what is that? No.
Fortunately, you came around. I became a fan way later in 85, so I was 10 years after Burnt. So, but Burnt, what about Hotter Than Hell? Is it still your favorite album when it comes to Kiss?
I had to think a second or two because I have such a bad memory. Because I remember a year later when Alive was released in September of 75. And back then, I mean, I didn't have any money. I was 13, almost going on 14. And I asked, my father said, what do you want for your for Christmas? And I said, Kiss Alive. And I got it. And it was the same enormous feeling, especially when it was stuff inside. I have never had an album that had stuff inside. And I was so blown away for that as well. But so it's a tie between those, but the songs and the guitar licks on Hotter Than Hell is still so good. And I remember two guys from this podcast that we borrowed to the Swedish Let Me Know podcast, and they were doing a special podcast about guitar licks, and it was so popular in Sweden, so they did it again on Kiss FAQ, not only once but twice, and I was so blown away by that too. It was such a good idea.
Yeah, that's Mark and Daniel. Yeah,
guitar riff. Yeah.
Daniel and Anthony.
Yeah,
exactly,
guys.
Yeah, so fun. I always like those episodes. I guess we have to do a few. There's loads of more riffs that we like, so we should probably do one more of those at least. We'll see what happens in the future. So if you would say tell us some of your favorite Kiss songs, what would it be? Would it be like Parasite, Hotter Than Hell, or
yeah, it will be that. And I will not say I Was Made for Loving You. I want to say that. But I do have some favorites from the album that we are mostly talking about, and its 45th year anniversary. That, of course, I mean, I like things that are different and strange. I mean, Parasite is strange, and Torpedo Girl is also really strange.
Yeah.
But it's so good. True. So I have several favorites on that album as well. But yes, to answer your question, I think all, if not all, but most of the songs on Hotter Than Hell is such an album and such good songs. And I remember that, I don't remember if you ever did this, but there were some other American podcasts that did a special edition about the album that you put on and you listen to it from the first song until the last song without lifting the needle. You will listen to all the songs. It may not be the best album, but it was such a good album that you don't didn't fast forward or anything like that.
No skipping. Yeah.
Okay, so
I would say that Hotter Than Hell is such an album.
Yeah, seems like you're really into Hotter Than Hell. But let's talk a little bit about. So you became a fan in '75, and then you actually. You were there at the advent of the Kiss Army Sweden. You were sort of the main man there. Can you tell us a little bit about how it started, how you got in contact with Kiss management and so on?
Yeah, and still, we have such a dramatic story here for you. The Swedes have heard this, but you guys haven't heard this. In the end of May 1976, Kiss came to Europe. The tour wasn't that successful everywhere, but in Stockholm on the Tivoli Gardens or Gröna Lund in Swedish, there were about 15 or 16,000 people totally smashed in. I mean, you couldn't get in another person. It was totally full. Mm-hmm. And I was there and I was again so amazed, so blown away, even though, I mean, we didn't see very much of the stage show. But the thing is that since the early spring of 75, all the Kiss concerts has been played in my head, which means that they were terrific. And from every single picture that I found, it doesn't matter if it was a Swedish magazine or an American magazine, all those pictures made sense in my head. So I know that this was the hottest show on earth, no doubt about it. So that is basically what happened. And during that concert, I decided, I want to start a fan club for Kiss. I mean, could it be a better Kiss evangelist than that? Mm-hmm. No, maybe not. So anyhow, what happens was that I tried to find out where they were staying. So I got to their hotel, which was the Sheraton. There were lots of kids outside. But I was, in Swedish, you call it, and maybe you can translate this word, Daniel, Lilgammal.
Yeah, it basically means that you're very young, but you act like you're an old person.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I went through the reception desk as an old person. I went up to the reception desk and say, "Good evening. I would very much like to speak with anyone concerned with the American rock band Kiss, please." And I mean, I was 13, almost, I think I was 14 at the time. I mean, can you picture the reception guy with this kid coming in and asking in such a polite way? So they said, "Oh,
there you are. Right.
Yeah, that's me." Back in the days. So what happens was that they said, "Okay, could you please wait a second and I will connect you to somebody." And they called somebody and it was their tour manager that came downstairs, and he said something like, "Yes, what can I do for you?" And I said, "I would like to start Kiss fan club in Sweden right now, this very minute. Could I possibly speak with someone from the band and make arrangements?" And he too was like, "This kid, I mean, please wait, I will go and talk with him." So he came back 10 minutes later and he said that the guys was in Swedish, "Daniel, take this, opassande," which means, of course, that they were making awkward girls. Oh. How would you translate the opassande?
Opassande. Well, you're putting me on the spot here, Bernd. I would say it's not very suitable
in a nice way.
Yeah.
But now I know what they did. Back then, I have no clue.
Right.
But anyhow, so he came down with two tour books, one that was signed and one that wasn't signed. Mm-hmm. And he said something like, they think it's a very good idea. Please talk with them after the tour, which of course was Ocoin Management. So that's what I did. And they asked me to send some kind of idea what I had in mind, which of course they liked. And I started the KISS Fan Service Fan Club in August of 1976. And if you have the... Gene Simmons made a book about KISS fanzines. I don't remember
when it was.
Yeah. And in that one, you can find the early issues of KISS Fan Service magazine. And I mean, it was a fanzine. And it looked like any other fanzines at the time. But when it comes to Sweden and to KISS, it was the first. The first issues wasn't that great, but they got better and better. So that's how it started. And then my relationship with the Ocoin Management bought well. And of course, the Swedish record company was very good. So I finally said, I would like to have some kind of conferment from you that I am an official KISS fan club. And back then, they didn't have any official KISS fan clubs. They only had the KISS Army. That's the only thing they had. And I mean, the KISS Army was them. So...
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need to write any stuff to themselves. But since I'm such a person that usually gets my way in a nice way, I finally got a telegram in 1979 from Ocoin Management. And that when I changed the name for the fan club to KISS Army Sweden. And it just got better and better. And that I can talk about for hours and hours and hours. No problems whatsoever.
Yeah, so you were the head of the KISS Army Sweden there, and then you got the news that KISS was going to go to Sweden. They didn't play America, much to Ken's disappointment.
Yeah.
But just briefly, Ken, did you think that KISS would tour America? Of course you thought that, or was it a surprise they didn't tour? Or had you understood that they were so, you know, out of love, so to speak, after The Elder, that there wouldn't be a tour?
Well, you know, after, you mean Unmasked, right? I thought they would tour. They toured the U.S. for every album, and this is the first album they didn't tour for. I was expecting it. I kept looking for any ads saying, you know, tickets are on sale for KISS and that sort of thing in 1980. And it just never happened, unfortunately. Yeah.
And the thing is that back then, we only knew what the management was telling. And I had contact with them every once in a while. And they always said, well, KISS is coming. And this was in the end of 79. They said that KISS were coming. And they even had dates for Europe. But something happened. Today we know what happened. But back then they said, well, they're recording a new album, and the album takes longer to record than they expected.
Mm-hmm.
But such a lie. Mm-hmm. We know what happened today. And so finally, when I spoke with them, this was, I think it was in the beginning of June or something like that. One of the ladies at, I think it was Ocoin, said something about Nowband. Now we got the news. They will get a new drummer. His name is Paul Caravallo. And I went, what? Peter had some problems and he wanted to get married and do a solo album. So there's a new drummer.
Wow, that must have been big news for you.
So, I mean, we don't have that much information. Today, if you look in the mirror, the nostalgic mirror, then you will find all the stuff, all the things, all the, sorry to say, but lies, because they were lies, or they didn't want to tell because they don't want to upset the fans or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but after that, and I spoke with her a couple of days after the concert at Palladium, and she was totally blown away. She said, he is so good. By the way, his name is not Paul Carrara. I was wrong, she said. It's Eric Carr.
Oh.
Changed his name. Yeah,
it was like later. Yeah, when they were changing the guitarists again. And they said that, well, they have a new guitarist called Mark Norton.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, later on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, back to 1980. Yeah. So finally, it was a tour, a European tour, and I was looking forward to it so much, and all the other Swedish Kiss fans as well, because we haven't seen them since 1976.
And you were at that show as well, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gröna Lund, back in the days. I mean, we can talk about that for an hour or two. And usually, since I belong to the Let Me Know Kiss Army Sweden podcast. Oh, this is John Hart wrote that. You can say the JH. That's the... That's the backstage pass back in the days. These are not any laminates. They didn't have any laminates for people like us.
Kind of like paper.
This is what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so many fond memories. If I see that, I can talk for 4 more hours about the tour.
Oh, better remove it.
Everything. So, I mean, Daniel, you are the conference leader here. I'm just the guest.
Yeah, but it's nice to hear your take on everything. But I think we'll move on to the actual tour. So Kiss came over, and the first gig was in Stockholm, October the 9th, wasn't it? Was there something before?
They didn't start the tour in Sweden. They ended the tour in Norway a week later.
Yeah.
But they came to Stockholm on the
9th. You mean they arrived in Stockholm a few days earlier? That's true. Yeah.
Yes.
But the first show, wasn't that on October 9th in Stockholm?
Yeah.
But you want to start even before that. So they arrived in Stockholm. Did you get in contact with them, or did you see them, or did you know what hotel they were living at and so stuff like that? Let's hear about it.
Back then, I was such a nosy guy. Anyhow, I found out that they were getting to Stockholm, and they would have a couple of days off. Or, I mean, they were still working, but it took time for the equipment to get from Germany to Sweden. And I found out from the record company that they will come midday on October 7th, 1980. And I got the hotel name. So I called the hotel because I had some beefs. I had some stuff to talk with the guys about, or the people around Kiss, because I have been promised that we would have a meet and greet for the fan club members, no money exchanged.
Oh,
wow.
That was back in the days.
That's unheard
of. Yeah, so I need to talk with them before to find out. So I called the hotel, and it was the same stuff as 4 years earlier. Hello, hello, my name is Bernt Månsson. Could I please speak with someone responsible for the rock band Kiss? And they connected me to a strange guy. He said his name was Van Helsing.
Yes.
And I didn't get it at the time. I should have known who it was.
Sure.
So I said that, okay, very, very nice. By the way, what is your position in the band? And the guy says, I'm the bass player. And I went like, really?
Sure.
So he was trying to explain that he was the bass player, Gene Simmons, and I said, you're not. And I said that you couldn't be, because Gene Simmons wouldn't pick up the phone and talk with a fan club president like that. Oh yes, he said, I would. So I was asking him interesting questions that only he could reply on, like, what's his mother's name? Could he speak something in Yiddish? And some other stuff. And finally, what the fuck? It probably was Gene Simmons. So we talked about the ideas about the meet and greet, and he said, sounds lovely. How many would you like to have to the concert? And I said, how many can I bring? And he went like, a few. And I replied, how about all? And he said, how many members do you have? Well, about 700-800. No, it's not. No, it's not. So we decided about 10 people for the concerts in Stockholm, Gothenburg, and Copenhagen, and maybe Berlin. So,
but Bernd, a quick question. Yeah. Did you have like 700-800 members in the Swedish KISS Army in 1980?
That's a lot.
That's
pretty darn good.
It was a popular fan club, and KISS was very, very popular back then. Still, I mean, KISS is still very popular, but people have changed. I mean, I know the guys that run the KISS Army Sweden in right now, and I mean, their fan club magazine, the Destroyer magazine, it's like a professional magazine. It's such a good one. Yeah, bring it on, bring it on. Yes,
that's the one. For the English version of that one soon.
I think that you could learn Swedish. It's not hard.
Probably.
It's not hard at all. Oh, yes. Here it is. But if you look at it, it's a really professionally designed. It's in four color. It's in full color.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, back in those days, back in 1980, I could only dream about print.
Nice.
Dalhalla.
The only thing you will hear me say is yes. It's like a famous Hollywood movie from back in the days.
Yes.
So back in 1980, I wanted to have a full color magazine, but it cost so much money, so it was couldn't do that. But the thing is that the interest for being a member in a fan club today, it's not the same as back in the 70s and back in the 80s, because today you have internet. Internet is like kind of a fan club. And that's why you had the KISS Online, etc. But still, it has to do with you need to have contact with people, real people like us. I mean, that's why we have this conversation today. That's because, I mean, KISS FAQ is not the fan club of KISS, but it's like a fan club, because it's like a club where you meet and you talk, and usually you are four or five guys at your place, and then we are a couple of thousand people that sits in the virtual room listening to all the fun stuff that you tell. I mean, so it's nothing new under the sun. It's just that the way is changed somehow. Oh, poor guy.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Sometimes it hits the wrong bottom. So Ken is out of play for the time being, but he'll be back.
Yeah, I've learned.
Just continue that great story, Ben.
But I can say like this, that the fan club magazine that you showed right now, that is, hey Ken,
wrong bottom, Ken.
Welcome back to your show.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that happens. No, what I wanted to say was that the fan club magazine that Daniel was showing us and making me go nuts, it's made... Oh, no, don't show it. Don't show it.
Ben.
Yeah. So what we did about 4 or 5 years ago... I was asked to do stuff for KISS again, and I did. And back in 1980, I had something called, in Swedish, Söndagstelefonsvararen, which is, of course, the Sunday phone-in. That was an answering machine. It was 5 minutes long, and it was every Sunday with all the latest and best KISS news. And it was so much news. And people were calling that answering machine to get the latest news. So... For 4 years ago, or maybe it was five, I did a new version of that on YouTube instead. And about 3 years ago, I became friends with Marco Ruvinen. Marco Ruvinen is the art director of the Destroyer magazine. And we met at at the release party for something called Car Jam, which is a project for raising money for things that Eric Carr would like to, them to raise money for.
That's a good point, Bernd. Let's just see if Ken, do you know anything about Car Jam and what that is? Have you ever heard about Car Jam as a project?
Yeah, I've heard of Car Jam. I know it was a charitable thing, but
and they're still around.
Yeah, other than that, never. Yeah,
no, they actually released sort of a pretty good EP that I know Bernd likes a whole lot.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah.
And, nice. So anyhow, we met at the release party, and since they went playing at the release party, which I today is very happy for, back then I wasn't, but then made it possible for me and Marco to meet and become friends. And after that, we decided that we should do a podcast together called Let Me Know. And since we are curious people, we want to let me know about everything that you have to say. And we looked at your podcast, we looked at several other podcasts, and we wanted to do the best of the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And Marco is such a good art director. So he could translate the Destroyer thing, that the Destroyer magazine, into something podcast or vlogcast act. And we have seen so much good stuff about that. And we have had not the members of KISS in it. I would love to do that. I would die for that.
Oh, sure.
Gene, listen to me now.
Van Helsing?
We will eat cookies together. You promised me that in Brussels.
He's
in
1983. Cake.
Yeah. But anyhow, so we have made, I think, almost 200 episodes of that. You are at 585, but we're getting there because we're releasing one episode every week.
Yep.
And so are you too.
Yeah.
Sorry. Get back to the story, Daniel. I mean,
yeah, I just have to say, Ken, we need to think of something for the 600 episode. It's well, we're almost there, Ken. We have to come up with something.
We got a ways. Yeah. Julian will. Who knows what we'll do?
Yeah, we'll come up with something. Well, Bernd, so you're talking about KISS coming to Stockholm, you getting in contact with Gene.
You did the meeting, though, right?
Did anything more happen before the first show? Anything else you'd like to add that
yes, happened? Yes, of course it did.
Okay, so let's hear it. Let's hear it.
The people that have read the story in KISS Online, oh, yes. Ah, I'm there. I'm there too. Okay, so this is the concert in Stockholm. And
Ben, are you in that picture? Are you that guy in the bottom right bottom right corner?
Yeah, bottom right.
Is that you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and to the bottom left is today a quite well-known Swedish rock journalist called Anders Tegner. So I think that the guys and the makeup, the longer guys in the makeup, I think that they're quite famous as well today.
Yeah, they might be.
As far as I know. No, but anyhow, so what happened were that there were seven people that was winning a contest. They were basically doing portraits or making some kind of art for KISS. Okay. And in Stockholm, there were seven people that won that contest, and these are the people. And some of them I know today, and some of them I don't. And I have been thinking about doing a podcast with these seven people to see, are you still alive? How was it back then? But
yeah, oh, cool.
Follow up. But I remember that back in the days, the thing was that several of the parents of these young people said, because they thought that KISS was troublemakers. The only thing that KISS was doing was violence and sex and blood.
Dangerous, and
It was like, if you go to 1984 and you're listening about Wasp and what they were doing, it was the same. But so
I don't know if Ken, if Ken, we have to say to Ken, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but that's a, there's a classic interview with Wasp on Swedish television. Back in the day, we only had two channels, and on prime time, there was an interview with about Wasp with that guy that Bernd mentioned, Anders Tegner, the rock journalist.
Okay,
and it's such a classic interview where they try to, you know, down talk Wasp as being we are Satan's peoples and all of that. It's such a classic interview over here in Sweden. Probably the most classic rock interview ever, I would say, on television. Wow. Wouldn't you agree, Bernd?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and but the only thing they did was increase the popularity of Wasp. But you didn't understand that.
But back in 1980, anyhow, so Kiss was the hottest act, and parents was afraid of Kiss.
Sure.
So several of these parents said to me, "We are trusting you with our daughter, and it's your responsibility to make sure that she gets out there alive. Otherwise, we will come back and hunt you."
But Ben, so you're saying Kiss was dangerous? Ken, in America, how was the feel about Kiss? Weren't they viewed as sort of
they were dangerous about 5 years earlier?
Yeah,
And then they became no dangerous after probably after the solo albums, and after that they became more kid friendly and so on with the movie and so on. Yeah. So yeah, they were dangerous up to 70, maybe 75, 70. I think after Destroyer and Beth, that kind of changed the view on Kiss after that.
Yeah. Because if you look at the headlines in the newspapers in 1980, it was crazy. Burnt. They were blood, violence. There was no violence some articles even mentioned, you know, Nazism and stuff like that in 1980. Yeah, but continue, Bernd.
Yeah. So anyhow, these seven people, they were so Knights and Satan service, rock on. Like it when you put up the comments from your audience. I love that. There's such great comments. No, that's a totally different thing. Anyhow, everything turned out great. It was no problems whatsoever. The only complaint we had was that Kiss was playing so darn loud, and it was bad loud.
It didn't sound good.
No. But yeah, that was loud, the problem. Yeah, that was the problem with many, many Swedish concerts back in those days, because the bands were renting equipment from a British company. And those Brits, I'm so sorry, Great Britain, but you had problems with sound back in the days. The only concert I've ever been to in the beginning of the 80s was the Queen concert in Stockholm. It is such a good one, but that's another podcast and another story for another day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyhow, since Kiss was such a dangerous band, they were playing, or they were supposed to be playing in Gothenburg as well. But in Gothenburg, the politicians there said Kiss cannot stay on a hotel in Gothenburg. No way, Ooh. Jose.
Oh.
And it wasn't Kiss fault. It was a German lady called Nina Hagen. Mm-hmm. Nina Hagen was smoking pot on the stage in her concert in Stockholm, not in Gothenburg.
Oh my God.
So the politicians in Gothenburg was very afraid. So they placed Kiss at Ramada Inn, long outside Gothenburg. And you are, at least you can, you know that Ramada Inn is not like downtown luxury hotel.
No, Ramada Inn, yeah.
So that's where they put both Kiss and Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden, that was a support act back in 1980. They were very happy to stay at a hotel because they were such a new band, and they were amazed about the popularity of them. They were that year really breaking big. And today, I mean, it's a fight between Iron Maiden and Kiss being the biggest hard rock band in the world. So
wow.
But Kiss has stopped touring, so Iron Maiden has lots of things.
Continued, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing that happened in Gothenburg wasn't exactly the concert. I mean, we had some people that met Kiss and was happy about that. But the most important thing happened the day after, because we were taking an airplane from Gothenburg to, and bring out your maps, kids, because you're going to enjoy this. So we took the plane with Scandinavian Airlines systems from Gothenburg to Copenhagen. I mean, that takes 25 minutes. It's totally nuts to do that, but we thought it was a good idea. And someone had booked Kiss on the same flight as us. So we were not... sad at all, and especially when the plane was delayed.
Yes, okay.
It was like us, it was me, it was Anders, it was Heikki. Heikki met Eric. By the way, do you by any chance have we have to go back in time, Daniel, have you by any chance a picture from something called Berlinge Bifest that I sent you? Is that something you can show?
Ken is the tech guy today. I think it's the one where they're having like a dinner at the table in full.
Yeah.
They have a cake party. Do you think you can bring up that?
I will bring up that image.
Yeah. Here. We need to talk about that. We can't miss that one.
Yeah, that's true.
Here we go.
Oh, yes, there it is.
Yeah.
This is from a TV show called Berlinge Bifest. It's a Swedish TV show that was from back in the early 80s. And Kiss was brought to the home of the interviewer that is on the right. Her name is Helene Benno. So this is her parents' dining table and her parents' apartment in the posh side of Stockholm. Kiss had no clue. They thought it was a studio. Okay. So what happens after that, they were nice here. And by the way, Gene Simmons, if you find that the film, it's about 2 or 3 minutes long, you will discover that Gene Simmons is giving cakes away to someone out of the picture. And that is our friend Heikki Harju, because he found out about this. And he was sitting there silent as a mouse.
And Heikki Harju, that's a very Finnish name. Is it Finnish or is it?
His parents is in Finland.
Okay.
And he is brought up and he's living in Sweden.
Okay.
Hey Heikki, hur är det? But anyhow, so after this, they recorded Talk to Me in playback, which Berlinge Bifest has never broadcasted. And then that tape has mysteriously disappeared. And after that, they had a cake fight. A classic cake fight.
That's crazy.
And it's on the same tape, and it's... But there... So afterwards, when we are on the airport, we told them that this was no TV studio. You were at Helen Benno's... Yeah.
Someone's home.
Two years later, Kiss was on a promotion tour for what album? Anyone? 1982.
Creatures
of the Night.
Yeah, and Helene Benno was the only one that got an interview. Guess why?
Is she the girl that interviewed Gene Simmons in full makeup?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's like,
a bit taller than her. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that he felt a bit, I'm so sorry about the cake fight. So she got the only interview in Sweden, the only TV interview back in 82. But back to 1980. And so Heikki and Eric has become really good friends. And they were like this.
And this Heikki guy, he's a friend of yours, is he?
Yeah, and he was part of the Kiss Army Sweden touring gang that went to Gothenburg and etc. So, by the way, I haven't told you my most stupid thing I've ever done in my entire life. On this answering machine, I put in a special message that says that if you are in Gothenburg and attending the KISS concert, you can come to our hotel afterwards and we can party.
Uh-oh. Okay. More than one person heard that.
I was thinking maybe 5 or 6 people will come.
Yeah.
No. There was 50 people in my hotel room.
Wow.
People have been asking me after that, was that such a good idea? And I said, yes, because I'm a very friendly person. I think that everybody should, I mean, we should be nice to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I have done smarter things than that. But on the other hand, the people that was there, I think that they enjoyed it. That was until Anders came into, you remember the rock journalist, when he came into my room, because he should say that, well, I know where they are. And it was like, oh. It was so full with people. And I had, I even had a mini suite because, I mean, I was such a nice guy. And the night watchman in the hotel, he was like, who are these people? Oh, they're with me, I said.
Okay.
Anyhow, after that, so we had a couple of hours with KISS of the Landvetter Airport, and we were talking about so much stuff, and it was so important for both for me, for Anders, for Heikki, and probably for KISS too. Because they could only talk with us because we were the only ones interested in them there.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So that was such a good memory from that. Then we, as I said, went to Denmark, and we were supposed to go to the movies with them because in Stockholm, we were asked if we would like to come with them to the cinema, and they were like, eh. We don't want to go to cinema with KISS.
What? Oh, no.
So anyhow, so they asked us in Copenhagen, would you like to come with us to the movies? And then we said, yeah. And one of our guys, which I'm going to name just naughty, naughty, Mr. Jack Tesler, said, leave the guys alone. They need to
decompress.
To do their things. Yeah. You can't come with them to the cinema. And we were like, oh. So we went home.
Mm.
And, then we went to, 2 days later, we went to Drammen, which is a town just outside Oslo in Norway.
Mm.
And if you're interested in both crazy KISS stuff and, of course, crazy Iron Maiden stuff, that was the end of that tour. And the thing what happens is in the end of the Iron Maiden show, Paul Stanley comes out with a cake and places the cake in the face of the singer. And then someone else came out there and placed another cake in another person's face, which of course meant revenge.
Yes.
Mm. So in the end of this show, many people from Iron Maiden came out and was taking KISS and doing other things.
Okay.
Maybe you need to talk with someone that's an Iron Maiden fan because they know so much more about this.
Hmm.
But on the other hand, if you talk about books, this is Drama in Denmark. In Norway. There's a whole book about that.
Who's the author? Who's the author behind that book?
This is Anders Palm.
Okay.
There is an interview with him on my old podcast, Band Prata Kiss på Söndagen, Band Talks Kiss on Sundays. That was before the Let Me Know podcast. But maybe we need to talk with him again. It's such a good book. Nobody has it.
Have you ever seen that book, Ken? No.
No, not before.
Oh, no.
Never.
That's the problem. We need to. It's good you're here, Bernd, and can show some of the Scandinavian work for the American fans.
These pictures you haven't seen either, I guess. These are from Drammen.
Yeah. Looks great.
Oh. I'll show you this
nice
as well.
Book.
So at times, cool. Americans and people that don't speak Swedish, they say, "Well, I don't need that book. I can't understand what it says. I don't understand the language." However, the pictures, the photos, is well worth your money. I mean, mm-hmm. it's enough just to look at the pictures, and I'd actually recommend, especially that book, "The Kiss in Sweden."
I mean, okay, how much Swedish do you? Yeah, how much Swedish do you need to look at these pictures?
Yeah. So the visuals, really the visuals in these books are amazing and phenomenal. So, if I was an American Kiss fan, I'd surely get these. Because they look awesome, and then if you're more interested, you can always find ways to translate, you know, what it says. But on the other hand, I think we could publish more in English from Sweden, and I'm hoping that the Destroyer magazine will follow through on their promise that they will release the next issue in English. I haven't heard anything about that.
I will probably be beaten up for telling this, but I don't have any NDA or anything like that. From what I can understand, the next Destroyer magazine will be in English.
Yeah, I've heard that too. So, so that it's all about postage and how you do that. But the dream scenario is that it becomes, you know, like a magazine for every Kiss fan around the world. Yeah, worldwide.
That'd be great.
That would be really cool. And then you could have people from America, Canada, and so on writing articles.
Think about the collaboration you can do if it is in English. I mean, because I remember at least from the beginning of the 80s, I'm so sorry to say, but I lost the contact with all the Americans that I had contact with. The only one that I still have contact with is Gilda Caserta. Hello, Gilda. But I've lost contact with so many, but please get in contact. I mean, you can find me on socials. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram. Well, oh, yes.
But what is this, Ozone?
This is, we changed the name from Kiss Army Magazine to Ozone.
Okay.
That was before Exciter. That was before Exciter came out, because that's a much better name. Because what we did, we were trying to make as good of the layout as possible back in those days. I mean, if Marco Ruvinen that does the layout for Destroyer, if he had been a bit older, and I knew and I was supposed to know him back then, he would do this as well. And this is good. For 1981, I think this is one of the one of the issues that never was published, by the way. So this is an exclusive.
Oh, okay.
Great shot of Gene's tongue there. It looks even longer than it is.
Yeah.
It's a great shot.
Is it his tongue?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It looks so. It looks very long. Yeah.
The guy that did the layout for the later issues of Ozone magazine was a guy called Bo Zadig with a Z in the beginning.
What kind of name is that? Swedish guy?
It's a good name. He did the layout for the most famous of all the Swedish fanzines ever. It was called Larm. And this is Marco Ruvinen that I spoke about. Probably October 2025, so soon. Hey, Marco.
Yeah. And you know, Ben, when I mentioned this on the Kiss FAQ podcast a few months back, I got a lot of, you know, people that I'm Facebook friends with getting in contact with me. How do I get the new magazine? How do I get? So I'm pretty sure a lot of, and Ken was one of them that wanted to get the English version of this fanzine, so I'm really hoping it will do well, but they need to get some information out on how to get it and so on, but I'm sure they will.
Yeah, and what I want to tell the Swedish guys, ni kommer få den på svenska också, ni kan vara lugna, or in English, for the Swedish guys, there will be a Swedish supplement, from what I can understand. So you are not lost.
Good.
Yeah. So that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not the Kiss Army Sweden evangelist, but it sounds like that I am. I'm trying to do my best to promote the Kiss evangelism.
A little secret. Bernd doesn't have to pay for the Swedish. Isn't that true, that you don't have to pay for the magazine?
Okay, it is like this. This is, I mean, somebody will kill me now, but I will gesture this. In 1984, I went into a Kiss depression closet, and I didn't come out of that until 2016, when a Swedish
podcast... Can you tell us the story behind that briefly? Because you were treated quite unfairly, I have to say.
Yeah, what happened was that there was some... It was a British company called Bertie Product Marketing. Yes, Mr. Bertie, I'm talking about you. They claimed that they had the rights for Kiss, for Blondie, for Status Quo, and for Iron Maiden in Europe. Huh. So first they said that I would waive my rights for the fan club, which I was stupid enough to do. I was 18 at the time, 19. And then when I tried to do the best, because people were complaining about that, so and they said, we want a Swedish fan club. So I rebooted the Kiss Army Sweden under another name called Kiss Fan Center. But anyhow, what happened was that they sued me, and I wasn't guilty or anything like that, but it was...
No.
Bad to be in a Swedish court when you are 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Try to say, well, I did the right thing. And I have spoken with both people that's involved in the early Status Quo fan club in Sweden, and the same with the Blondie fan club and the Iron Maiden fan club. So I know I wasn't alone. But back then, I thought I was alone. Mm-hmm. So I came into a great Kiss depression, and I closed myself in a closet, and I sold all my Kiss stuff. Almost. Oh, no. I still have some left because I had to buy it again after 2016.
Right.
So in 2016, a Swedish podcast called Destroyer Alive asked me if I wanted to talk about Kiss stuff from the past. And I said, no way, Jose. And I don't remember anything, which was a lie. But what happened was that they were nagging, and especially one guy called Alexander Johansson, which is a very famous guy for one thing. He has something called Kiss Exhibition. He has so much Kiss stuff that he how do you bend that word? Exhibit.
Exhibit.
Yes.
So, very good.
Go and watch him. Anyhow, so he said to me, but you are wrong. People don't hate you. Oh, yes, I said, they're going to beat the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
Then the same fall, it was a Kiss conference in Trollhättan Rock City.
By the way, you have to tell the audience that something is happening there as well in a few months.
Yes, I will tell that
one thing at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened was that I was sitting in a conference hall together with two other ex-Kiss Army presidents, and the one that is the president since such a long time, and that is Niklas Olsson, great guy, although these were great. But what happened was that I was apologizing to all the fans that was in this conference room. I think it was about 300 people of them, and I was saying, I'm so sorry that I treated you bad back in the 80s. And everybody went, what the fuck? What is he talking about? He didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. So I have been in a Kiss depression closet from 1984, 85 until 2016. I mean, so fucking nuts. So I was thinking after that, I will try to pay my dues. So that's why Kiss on Sundays, the podcast. That's why I'm part of the Let Me Know podcast, and that's why I still try to do I'm trying to pay my dues as much as possible. And then, of course, there's the very, very, very long article on the Kiss Online thing that I'm very proud of it. And mostly I'm proud of it because I get to collaborate. I get to work with Ken Sharp. And Ken Sharp, for me, is the guy that made those, I'm so sorry, Julian, made all these terrific books in Sweden about Kiss. So if you're listening, Ken, I love you. You should know that by now. So I'm so grateful for everything that has happened to me since 2016. And I'm so grateful for people accepting me as part of their Kiss fan thing. As you can hear, I mean, English is not my native language, but I'm trying to do my best.
You're doing very well, Bernd. You're doing very well. You're great at this. But I would like to add one more thing. I mean, Trollhättan, we have to talk about that a little bit. What's Trollhättan Rock City?
Okay, Trollhättan Rock City is a way to meet your Kiss friends. And it doesn't matter if you're from Sweden, Denmark, or America, or Canada, or wherever.
Trollhättan is a city in Sweden, just so you know.
Yes.
You listen.
Just like Detroit Rock City. I mean, it's a play with words. Trollhättan Rock City, Detroit Rock City, you get it. And the city of Trollhättan, you can...
Google it.
Do you think? Yeah, Google it. Trollhättan, Trollhättan. Yes. Trollhättan is very famous for Peter Lemark and for Gardenskaparna and Aftershave. No,
this is very, very Swedish things that Bernd is mentioning, but huge things in Sweden. Yeah. Comedians and artists that haven't made it really outside of, but they haven't made it outside of Sweden. Very national, so to speak.
So what will happen is that there will be one of these lovely things. There will be conferences. There will be food. It will be Kiss sellers. And you will, of course, be Kiss buyers. I mean, if there's Kiss sellers, it must be Kiss buyers as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that is happening in that. Maybe you should.
I think you can compare it with sort of like the Indianapolis convention or something like that, but in 2025 in Sweden.
Yeah. And the thing that I want to bring up as well is that there's a lot of things happening in Sweden when it concerns Kiss, because we have such many people that are into Kiss and would like to evangelize Kiss forever and ever and ever. And I mean, we have like two guys that are writing books about Sweden, about Kiss. That's Alex Bergdahl, which is a very good conference holder when it comes to Kiss. And there's Carl Linnaeus. Yeah, bring them out. And there's Carl Linnaeus that has made 8 books, five about Kiss, and he is making one about Alice Cooper now in Sweden. Yes. Ooh, good stuff. But nowadays you can if you, of course, you get a poster with every book. You know what you're missing, guys?
That's cool.
Yes. And of course, bring it up again, Daniel. This is a very, very good thing. This is a card with their signatures on it. They signed the card. And I think that their autographs looks very much like Kiss autographs, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah.
I'm getting a bit of Ace Frehley on that first one, this one over here.
Yeah. But it's the same with the journalist Anders Tegner. When he was younger, he had an ordinary autograph, and then it looked very much like Peter Criss' autograph. I don't know why, but maybe he can explain that one time or another.
But Bernd,
you've
talked a lot about what happened around the concerts, before the concerts, after the concerts. you haven't really mentioned a lot about the concerts. Did you actually go to any of these concerts?
But of course I did.
Can you give us some highlights, and how was the audience? How did they, how was the reception, and so on?
Yeah, let me divide that. First of all, the audience back then was wild. And it's like this interesting Kiss song. By the way, post that one. We need to talk about that picture. You'll drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. I mean, it's what Kiss is all about. And it's the same with the audience. I mean, you trigger each other, because the audience back then were very, very, very wild. By the way, then this is an interesting thing. Because if you look, this is an advert for the concert in Eriksdalshallen in Stockholm. And if you look at this, and it took 45 years, and one of the readers in Kiss
of the Kiss FAQ board wasn't it?
Notice something. Yeah.
And look at this. You remember, this is a part of a certain album from 1980, but who is behind Peter Criss Mask? It's Gene Simmons. Yeah. And it's so true. I mean, it's always Gene Simmons behind anything.
Removing Peter Criss from the band in this.
Instead of removing his own makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that for a while. Yes. And and the thing was, during this tour, Kiss was playing like, do you have handball in the US?
Handball. It's not very popular, but yeah.
No.
Now it's not very popular in Sweden, but it's in Denmark.
Back a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing was that Kiss was just playing handball halls, for the exception of Scandinavium, because Scandinavium is Gothenburg's big arena. Yes, that's the ticket from the concert in Stockholm. I like that. And it says, this is in Swedish, of course, it says, by the way, you can read this, Daniel. You're a Swede. Translate that. I like what it says. Things that you can't bring to a concert.
I don't know if I can see it. Things that you can bring to the concert. Is it at the bottom of the thing? You can bring bottles, cans, flammables,
pyrotechnics,
tape recorders, film cameras, ordinary cameras. Alcohol is forbidden to bring to the concert hall.
Yeah, okay. It's only alcohol that is forbidden. The rest is totally okay. But I think that they did something wrong when they were printing that text.
Should be the other way around.
Yeah.
Get drunk and leave those
apart. But it's fun.
Yeah. So Bent, you're saying all of that is forbidden. Is that the thing?
Yeah.
They have misprinted it. Okay.
You can't bring fireworks to concert.
No. Bring pyrotechnics.
Fireworks. Yes.
Fire off the pyrotechnics together with Kiss.
Look at the prize. 60 Swedish crowns. That's like $6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back in the day.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so Kiss were playing. Of those four concerts, three of them were played in handball arenas, which is quite small. And that's Stockholm. This is a picture taken by a guy called Peter Andersson, which was a very, very, very young freelance photographer at the time. And he was asked by the Polygram company that was taking care of Casablanca in Sweden to follow Kiss during the Stockholm days. So he made an exhibition with all his Kiss photos in Sandviken and some other bands as well, because he has taken photos of so many bands in the beginning of the 80s, including Kiss promotional tour in Sweden 1982. They didn't play. They're doing stuff for Creatures of the Night. So this is one of the few very good pictures from Stockholm, because back in these days, I mean, you had Instamatic cameras.
Yes.
With the X Cube flash, the good stuff. And even the photographers, I mean, back then they liked to take pictures in black and white. But yeah. Peter was quite young and adventurous, so he was taking pictures in color instead. There are other pictures of Peter's that you can find if you're Googling his name, but this is one of the good ones. And he took the picture, by the way, from the greet session earlier.
Oh, that
yeah, there's me. A similar picture in and this is strange. Oh yes, I like this. This is the ticket from Scandinavium in Gothenburg. Looks a bit different. And then we have a whole bunch of newspaper cuttings from Sweden. And my favorite one is the one in the middle. Skulle vi vara farliga? Which of course is, should we be dangerous? Question mark. And then we have kiss, sex, violence, and wooing. Jubel, that's wooing by Daniel.
I like the one in the bottom right corner, kiss, better than their reputation. That's a good one. Mm?
That's, yeah.
Down to the right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there were so many newspaper cuttings from those days. But the thing was that back in the days, you didn't cut them out and save them the way that you might do today. Yeah. But one guy called Emil, which is a friend of Let Me Know podcast. He is such a lovely guy because he collects everything. And then, of course,
Örnemark, Emil Örnemark?
Emil Örnemark. Hey, okay. Emil. And then, of course, he has a friend called Johan Fack, the authors.
Johan Fack? Johan Fack?
No. You have told me not to say profanity on your podcast.
Yeah,
I can say fuck you if you want to.
They're a bit touched with that in America, you know.
Yeah, but this is one of my pictures from Copenhagen.
Oh, that's a good picture. In
flashlight. Yeah, but I don't believe in using flashes because people get upset if you have a flashlight in their face. So this is taken without a flashlight in. A couple of minutes before the concert in Copenhagen in 1980. Yes, box indeed.
Wow, that's a great picture.
Yeah, it's a bit dark, but I mean,
it's kind of a cool color.
It's an oldie and a goodie. So, but the thing was that that's Copenhagen too. It's not clear, but it's fussy, but it's lovely. I mean, have you seen? Such a lovely picture with that tongue everywhere. Everywhere is the tongue.
Oh yeah.
So, but my friend Marco, he says, please, Bent, give up trying to take those very, very extreme close-ups. And I said, but I like it. You're the only one, he says. You're the only one that takes extreme close-ups. But I mean,
I don't think that's true.
Made on DVD called that those were the pictures that Kiss wanted to murder a journalist for.
The without makeup pictures.
Did you see these in America, Ken, these pictures? Because they're
I did not see these pictures. No, just the Cream magazine pictures. I'd never seen
the photographer took these pictures. I've heard the story. It's such a fantastic story. They found out which plane that Kiss were coming to Gothenburg, and there was a guy with what do you call them? This teleobjective? No, not objective. What do you call them? When you put
you can take a picture from a very far distance. That's the thing.
Yeah, there were these lenses. I mean, zoom lens.
Yeah.
So he was lying outside the airport.
Like a sniper.
Yeah.
Telescopic
in the mud, taking these pictures. And when Kiss found out about that, because this is Expressen in Sweden and Verdens Gang in Norway that took these pictures, mm-hmm. they wanted to be the living daylight out of the Expressen photography, because he tried to take more pictures in Stockholm back in 1980. So there is an article that says, Kiss wanted to kill us. That's a good one.
Yep. So, Big John Hart, I think, wanted to kill him.
He wanted to smack the living daylights out of. And I remember that somebody had interviewed John Hart before he passed away about this. And he said something like, well, I had my job and they had their job. My job was to protect the guys and their job was to take pictures of them. And they know what I did. I just took the film out of the camera and ripped it out.
Yeah. Just real quick, I think it was beautiful when I went to the last concerts that Kiss ever did in Sweden, in Dalhalla. I saw several T-shirts with John Hart. Protecting the stars since 1970-something. And that's there was a big picture of John Hart. I thought that was kind of a tip of the hat to John Hart. I think that was pretty cool to see. Yeah. So if you would pick one of these concerts, Bent, which was your favorite and why? Did you have any favorite concerts that went over real well with the audience or it sounded better than the others? Because you're the only one who went to these concerts. I have no clues. Yeah. I want to know.
Can't I lie?
No.
No, I can't. We shouldn't do that. No. I should say that all of them had their pros and cons. I liked the one in Stockholm because it was my first real Kiss concert in four and a half years. Mm-hmm. I liked the concert in Copenhagen because Ace Frehley had problems with the rockets. With the firing of the rockets. And then there's a story about Hell's Angels.
Ben, you have to tell us what kind of problems with the rockets.
Oh, the thing is that...
They did fire off?
Because that's what he did. He was trying to fire rockets. He's like... Everything was... was manual back in those days. And if it worked, it worked. But what he did, instead of firing off the rockets because they couldn't, he was pointing like rockets. So that we know this is a rocket, that is a rocket.
And imagine the rocket. Imagine.
Yeah, and then there were members in the audience from Hell's Angels that were on the fourth row.
Hell's Angels were there.
This is not a well-known fact, but they wanted to see the concert, and people that were standing before them to just remove them.
Uh-huh.
And nobody wanted to stand before them.
That's like the after the Altamont issue back in
Of course I liked the concert in Drammen outside Oslo because of the fun things that happened in the end with the caking and everything. So much for that. Do you get any comments, by the way? I remember that you have so many comments from listeners and viewers of your podcast.
We do, they're more listening today.
I think they're so captivated by your stories, Ben. So they are forgetting to make comments.
Yeah.
We'll get them afterwards as well. You know, if you check out the episode in a day or two, you'll get a few comments that we can talk about. Yeah. But I think it's really interesting to hear these details that you can't really get now unless you meet someone who actually was there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I have one question that I always wonder about before you continue, Bernd. Yeah. I heard some rumors about Bill O'Coin during this tour. Any truth to those rumors? I mean, you don't want to comment on these.
I understand, have no problems.
But I've heard some rumors that there was something involving, underage.
I will tell you, but all the people that are afraid of interesting stuff should go away for a moment or two.
Okay.
on our podcast, the Let Me Know podcast, it's, I think it's 2.5 hours long. It is, of course, in Swedish, but we have English subtitles. You could always look at them. They are made from AI, so they are always funny. But in the end, there is the conference from Oslo is, as a bonus material, it's 30 minutes long, and it contains so much really interesting things about KISS back then, including the album that should come after, the really heavy album that should come instead of The Elder. They're talking much about that. But by the way, I must comment about one thing, because I saw Marco said that Niklas Olsson is part of the Council of the Elder. That, of course, is the closest that you can get to being a super KISS fan. So he made sure, by the way, that my story got published on KISS Online. And he has very good ideas about how to treasure the KISS legacy. And there are some other people. I think that Julian interviewed two guys from what we in Sweden call Council of the Elder. I think it's a better name than KISS Superfans. So Niklas is the boss of KISS Army Sweden for such a long time now. But anyhow, back to 1980 and the afternoon in Oslo. The press conference has ended. All the journalists has gone away. And I see one kid, about 13 years old, all by himself in the lobby of the hotel. And he speaks Swedish, which isn't, of course, uncommon if you're in Norway. So I said, hi, I'm Bernd from the KISS Army Sweden fan club. Who are you? And he told me his name. And now comes the real controversial part. So I was asking, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm with a band, he says. Okay, I said. Yeah, I met them in Stockholm. We met them in Stockholm too, but I haven't seen you. No, but I have been together with Bill. And I went like, Bill who? Oh, Bill O'Coin. Okay. Are you, because I understood what it was all about. So I said, are you still with Bill O'Coin? No, I'm with Paul Stanley now. And I went like, okay. And I got really worried. And I was asking, okay, how about your parents? Well, they are at home. Okay. Have you called them? Yes. They've spoken with Paul. And they are fine with this. And I got more and more upset on the inside, because I understand what this is all about. So what happened was that this guy met Bill O'Coin in Stockholm, and Bill said, would you like to meet the band? Of course he wanted to meet the band, because he was a big KISS fan. And then Bill said something about, well, if you have a long way home, you can always sleep in my room. Do I need to tell you anything more? Yes, I do. So this guy or this boy was asked to sleep in Bill O'Coin's queen size bed. It is not such a good idea. So then what happens is that Paul Stanley finds out about this and gets really, really upset about the whole thing. So Paul makes sure that no harm is going to happen to this boy. So Paul made sure that this guy, he was still traveling with the band, but he had his own room and someone that looks after him that wasn't Bill Coyne.
Right.
I don't want. I think it's unfair to dig deeper because this is such a dirty story, but it's a story that it's. I didn't tell it why he's still alive. But it's a strange story.
Yeah,
which I hope only was a one-time thing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So interesting.
That is the nice version.
Okay, thank you for sharing that, Bernd. I think that's
it. But aren't your ears burnt? Aren't your eyes burnt?
Burnt by burnt.
Yeah, but I mean, this is not a nice story because when you've heard it, you cannot unhear it.
No. Sure.
So that was what I've heard.
We've heard rumors of that sort of thing before.
So
yeah,
there were some problems with Bill O'Connor. That's for sure. He had some issues, I'd say. So I think it's good that they got rid of him back in 81.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say, one very important thing that has to do with my way of thinking and seeing people, and that is that as long as you're a grown up, you're allowed to do whatever you want as long as you don't hurt anybody. And it's important to always be yourself. And you should always be yourself as far as you don't hurt anybody with who you are.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense
in English too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So we're about to wrap things up here. So Ken, what do you say about these stories that Bernd has told us? Anything that was new to you? Anything that was interesting in particular for an American that you hadn't heard before?
No, I wish I would have, went to a hotel or whatever and done one.
With Bill O'Coin,
presented myself as some adult and professional person, and I probably wouldn't have gotten away with it like Bernd did. But it's very, very interesting, and I think it was a great experience.
Think you hit the nail on the head there when you said, if you've been, offensive and sure of yourself, you can land quite a few cool interviews and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And get in contact with the band. So you did great there, Bernd. You were only a teenager. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. Where did the confidence come from?
I have no idea because I have no confidence whatsoever.
You spent it all. You spent it all in 1980. So it's nothing left.
It worked.
Yeah, there is a lot of stories that contains the next tour in 1983 that we can save.
Yeah. Okay. Save for another.
Maybe we'll save it for another day, and we'll invite you back and hear it once again. Great to have you on the podcast, Bernd. It was great to listen to your stories, and thank you to Ken and from me, Ken and Bernd. That's it, guys. See you next time on the KISS FAQ podcast.
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.